The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hey, Barracuda fans, welcome to another episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we'll be joined by Barracuda forward Tristan Robbins. Robbins, a year ago, suffered a high ankle sprain in preseason that held him out all the way until December. And because of the injury, he never quite found the rhythm he had as a rookie the season before. Now he's heading into year number three. In 24-25, he's healthy, and he's excited to make an impact and start knocking at the door to get recalled to the National Hockey League. Without further ado, here's our conversation with Barracuda forward Tristan Robbins.
Welcome back to CUDA Confidential. We are joined by Barracuda for Tristan Robbins. Tristan, how's it going? Another season upon us.
Yeah, excited, Nolly. Thanks for having me.
You know, we caught up before the opening game. It was a long journey for you. Last year, for you, you dealt with an injury that you sustained in preseason, and it just seemed like it put you off on the wrong foot, no pun intended. You didn't play until December, and that's hard to deal with. Obviously, everybody else is ready to roll. They've been playing for months, and you're just trying to get your footing and your timing. So what was it like last year to deal with that, and how happy are you to have that behind you? And really, you look at a new season, it's a completely fresh start.
Yeah, like you said, fresh start. It was very difficult. I think the hardest part was probably just to keep a positive headspace. Being over so long, it takes a toll on you and especially your mental state. So I think I learned a lot about myself dealing with an injury like that, and I've never been out for that long before. So I think, you know, there's learning lessons that I think I like, good things that I took out of it is just to make sure, you know, you take proper care of your body at all times and just making sure that you're not getting too down on yourself because it is a long process. But yeah, you know, you got to kind of take the good out of what you can.
That was going to be my follow-up question, and in many ways, you kind of answered it. Just what you learned about yourself. Were you proud of yourself after everything was said and done, and you kind of reflect on the whole process, just how you managed some of the lows, I guess, some of the valleys, and then also try to keep an even mindset even when things were starting to trend in the right direction?
Yeah, so I think like there's, you know, definitely hills and valleys, like definitely low points, some high points, a couple spots where I think I hit a couple setbacks, which really made me quite upset. You know, it was a little difficult to deal with at times, but yeah, like you said, and like I mentioned, I think I learned a lot about myself and trying to keep a positive headspace and know that it's really not forever and to just take things day by day and not really look too far ahead.
How does a player stay sharp mentally? Because obviously physically you can't play, you're not practicing with the guys, but you have a chance to continue to stay mentally sharp. So how did you go about doing that?
I think just really taking pride in all the rehab and the recovery and the workouts that you're doing, because that is pretty much the only thing that's still, you know, tying you to the team at the time, because you're not traveling with them, you're not playing with them. So I think also spending as much time around the boys as you can to still feel involved is really healthy for the headspace. And at the same time too, just doing things that you enjoy away from the rink, I think is big as well. Dealing with an injury, you know, especially when you're not traveling with the team, you have more time away from them when you're still in the city. So doing things that kind of get your mind away from what you're dealing with, I think helps a lot.
Did anything change for you this summer in terms of training, even mindset after what happened last year?
I think the biggest thing was I was just excited to get going. Towards the end of the year last year, I was feeling like I was just starting my season, because I pretty much was, which is, you know, crazy. But yeah, just the excitement, I think, carried me through the whole summer. I was excited every day training, just really looking forward to camp and, you know, to opening night.
What type of things are you doing in the summer? I know guys talk about, well, I want to get quicker. I'm doing a lot of off-ice stuff. I want to be more explosive. What type of things are you doing in the summer? What are you trying to accomplish?
I think for me personally, I always try to put on a bit of size. Getting a little bit stronger will never hurt. And then also equaling, or sorry, adding speed with the size, because if you know, you don't want to get too big and get slow. So I think that's a big focus on myself, is just putting on some lean muscle mass.
So what does your summer tend to look like? Where are you going back to? I know you said you went back home. I think you were living with your parents, and that's kind of how the summer shakes out for a lot of younger players. How did the summer look like for you? Where do you train? How does it all shake out?
So this past summer, I spent most of May at home with my family back at the lake. Got to unwind a little bit, debrief, spend some time with my little brother. That was great. And then when things start ramping up again, I head to Saskatoon and train with the group there. A great on-ice group, a great off-ice group, and get to see some old friends and old billets and kind of check all the boxes.
Anybody that you're training with that's at your level in terms of being a professional hockey player, are they all pro hockey players? What's the kind of group like?
Yeah, the group's really good. The off-ice group's a little bit different. Not everyone in the off-ice group is, not everyone in the skating group is in our off-ice group, but yeah, a majority AHL players, but we do have probably three or four full-time NHL players, a bunch of guys who come from Europe, and yeah, pretty good group. I'd say about 20, 25 guys.
What's the mindset of a player? You're now in year number three, and you've dealt with an injury now, and you've had a lot of success too during your time as a professional with the Barracuda, but also playing some games up top in the NHL. As you've gotten now, you're a little bit more mature, I'm sure, in terms of your mindset, but is it that cliche to have the approach? Is it 1% better every day? Is that kind of your goal on a day-to-day approach?
No, as cliche as it is, man, I think that's why there's so many cliches, because they're pretty true. Coming to the rink and just wanting to get that little amount better every single day, taking everything that you're being taught and implementing it, and just doing everything you can to improve every day, I think will get you that much closer to the next level. And really taking pride in that too, because there's going to be a lot of days where you know maybe you're not feeling it, or days that you don't want to do that much, or even days where it feels like what you're doing isn't really translating or whatever. But you know, everyone here and the staff are great, and they're doing it everything for a reason, so you just have to trust the process.
Well, speaking of trusting the process, do you have to not worry about the tangible results, the big, I guess, strides? You've got to just, talking about the 1%, just continue to work, because over time you'll see the increases, not necessarily day by day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like compound interest. just like that. And I think too, if you work hard and you keep a good mindset and you're a good teammate, I think it will only help you. And I think one of the biggest things that I've kind of taken away too is you can only control what you can control, how hard you work, your mindset, the attitude you bring. And I think that's very important, is just not really worrying about things that are completely out of your control.
You mentioned compound interest, and I'd be remiss if I didn't kind of talk to you a little bit about some of the things you enjoy away from the rink. You're one of the more impressive players on the team. You're a guy from a very young age who was looking beyond your financial success as a hockey player. I know that you own some homes, which help you increase your financial growth, but also just your time too. So I don't want to dive too much into that personal information, but when did it kind of become a thing for you that you're interested in real estate and maybe even growing yourself away from the rink beyond just being a hockey player?
I think it was always something that I was really interested in. My hockey path took me through to juniors when I kind of wanted to go the college route, further my education a little bit. I did take some classes through the online university while I was in junior, but you know, the online classes aren't always very good. So I think once I signed my contract, I would just kind of put it more into perspective that I wanted to invest a lot of my money. And then at the time I was looking at stocks and day trading and crypto and all that crazy stuff. And it just really wasn't for me, a little too volatile. So then I thought, you know, next best option was probably real estate. I live in a really good and prime real estate area. I'm just fortunate that way back home, where a lot of the land is already bought up. So you're not allowed to buy anymore. So lucky enough to purchase some property and just kind of invest my money that way. And it's kind of grown into a nice little hobby for myself.
Well, because you're still playing pro hockey, you don't need to necessarily worry about taking college classes. But there has been some news in the world of the CHL. You play in the Western Hockey League. It does sound like it's going to happen where guys will be eligible to play NCAA hockey following their junior careers. That was not something available for you during your time, but it does seem like you're a guy who probably would have maybe went to college if time afforded. So if you were to study in terms of going to college and being a normal college student, what do you think you'd probably focus on? What type of things are you interested in? You mentioned real estate and things along those lines, but what do you think you'd study if you did go to I guess American college?
Yeah, so I think it would have been really cool if I was able to do that. It would definitely be something that I would have weighed on for sure. I am really into architecture, so I think that would probably be a loophole eventually in my academic career, but I'd probably start out as a civil engineer.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And again, it goes back to the type of person you are, the things that interest you away from the rink as well. Tying it back into hockey, you know, every player wants to get to the NHL. Your goal certainly is to become a full-time NHL player. You played in three games your rookie season with the Sharks. You're trying to knock on the door again and get back up there. How much does a player allow for that to creep into their mind, wanting to get to the NHL when you're still in the American Hockey League? Or again, going back to the 1% every day, do you try to just block it out and focus on the controllables?
I think it definitely varies player to player. Like you said, with the controllables, that's always something that's on my mind. But yeah, I come here every day wanting to make that jump and wanting to get better and wanting to, impress people and just kind of show what I can do and what I can bring as a player. But also too, I don't think you can consume yourself with that thought because again, it's not so much in your control. So just bringing all you can to the rink every day and trying to better yourself will help you get there. And I think just doing that every single day, it'll only get you closer, and then hopefully you get that chance and you never have to look back.
Are you a guy who, when you're not playing, are you still consuming hockey? Are you watching hockey, following hockey? Is that something that you do in your free time, or are you kind of disconnecting once you're away from the rink?
I think it definitely depends on the time of year or mood or whatever. I watch a little bit here and there, definitely not every single night or whatever, but I do enjoy going out and golfing or heading to the beach and kind of debriefing a little bit as well. So I feel like there's a healthy balance of both.
When you do watch the NHL, are there any players that you really kind of hone in on that you focus on? Anybody that you look up to, I guess, in the NHL currently?
I mean that I think that's a pretty extensive list of players I look up to, but I think just watching not only the top players, but the top teams in the league and how they play, and almost not even really focusing on the top players. Like I really enjoyed watching Florida in the playoffs last year, where the middle six and their bottom six players, they just kind of all bought into this. Well, they all bought into the same system, and it was almost just like a single mindset, like a single organism. You know what I mean? It was all working together, and it was really impressive to watch, the guys that would go out there and play limited minutes, but they would do tremendous with the minutes that they were given. So I think just kind of focusing on like maybe the things that a lot of people look past, and yeah, some of the guys that don't play a lot, I think it was really cool to just watch all the hard work that they put in.
When you're in junior and you're as skilled as you are, you're putting up a lot of points, and that's what your team relies on you to do. Now, you're still putting up points at the pro level, but as a pro, you've got to be more detail oriented, right? You've got to be more responsible, especially when you're away from the puck. Have you kind of enjoyed continuing to add different elements to your game over your 3 years of pro?
I have, and I think that's definitely a premium that they put on in the pros is definitely the defensive side behind the puck. In junior, you can get away with a lot of stuff. You don't ha necessarily have to back check a whole lot. It's just, kind of the nature of how it is if you're, one of the better players on your team. But yeah, when you get here, you're playing against, some of the best young players in the world and some of the best older players in the world as well. So it's a very tough league, and I think if you round out your defensive game, it'll only make it that much easier for you to take that next step to the NHL.
For young players, it's the defensive side that maybe is the most challenging part. Drew Amenda, who's an analyst for the Sharks on their TV broadcast, he mentioned players like Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini. They were drafted high because of their skill set, right? So they've got to be real detail oriented when they're away from the puck. But when the puck's on their stick, they need to still have that creativity and use what got them to that level. Is that something that you try to do as well when you're away from the puck, sure, you've got to be structurally sound. But when you have the puck on your stick, not losing what got you to where you are and what got you drafted in the second round by the Sharks?
Absolutely. I think keeping and improving on all your skills in your game is extremely important. I believe that you really can't be too good in one single area. So continuing to improve is huge. And I think, yeah, as well, like I was, or and still I'm naturally more an offensive player than I am a defensive player. So the focus was for sure to improve my defensive game, but as well as trying to continue to improve my offensive game, because that'll only help me as well.
What have you done? What have you incorporated over your career defensively that you feel like has helped you improve? Because you're not a humongous guy, so it's not going to be physically overpowering, guys. You've got to use your smarts. You've got to use your positioning. So what type of things have you really taken on and incorporated into your game defensively?
Like you said, positioning has definitely been a big one for myself. Pinching guys off kind of at the hands is a little bit easier than running them through the glass at times. So that's definitely a big part of it. I think, too, I've really put a premium on faceoffs. And I've been doing a lot of penalty kill as well. So I think just being hard to play against doesn't really matter the size of the player anymore. It's just competitiveness, willingness, and I think just work ethic, pure grit, I think is a good way to put it.
What makes a good penalty killer in your mind?
Someone who can definitely read the play and see it develop, I think, will help. Also, I think understanding how the power play is intending to operate helps as well. And then not second guessing your actions, I think, is a big one too. Because if you hesitate, then often you'll get beat with a pass or beat with a shot. So I feel like just trusting your instincts is a big one. And then also being able to move efficiently, I think, is good too.
We're talking to Barracuda forward Tristan Robbins. This is year three for you. It's year three for head coach John McCarthy. So there's been that continuity, knowing what to expect. Is that a big benefit in your mind, having the same coach, being comfortable with him, knowing what his expectations are?
For sure. I think, you know, as you grow and go through the years with similar, familiar, or the same staff, I think it only gets better and it'll only improve, building relationships. And then also for myself, understanding his coaching style, and then for him, understanding my play style, and then kind of learning and growing and teaching kind of together. But yeah, it's just super excited for this year. I think we have a great group here and I can't wait.
There's a lot of new faces on this team, multiple rookies making their debut this past weekend. What have you made of the blend of newcomers, rookies, and even some of these veterans that have joined the fold as well? How is the chemistry coming along, and what do you think this team can accomplish this year?
I think we can accomplish some pretty great things. I'm really excited to see what we can do. There's definitely a very big mix of young and older veteran players, and it's been great so far. I think it's been the best group we've had yet since I've been here.
One more for you. Year three, as we mentioned, for you. How have you changed as a person and player since you first joined the organization, drafted back in 2020, and now you're here 3 years later? How have you changed as a person and a player?
I think I've gotten a little bit more mature, maybe not a lot, but I still kind of feel the same as I did when I was 18 and 19. But I just think I've really felt like I've done a way better job of rounding out my game. Looking back at my game in junior, I thought it was in a good spot. It's definitely not nearly in the same spot as my game currently. And I'm really proud of that. And just being able to, I think, adapt to more of a pro game, because it is such a difference and way more detailed. And I think that it's been a really fun process so far. And I just can't wait to see where it goes from here.
Barracuda forward Tristan Robbins, we appreciate the time. Keep working hard. It's for sure 1% better, even for us people on the business side. It's just about getting a little bit better every day. But we appreciate the time. Best of luck, and thank you again.
Thank you so much, Nolly.
A big thank you to Barracuda forward Tristan Robbins for joining us on this episode of CUDA Confidential. For more original Barracuda content, go to sjbarracuda.com/listen, or you can find us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also watch our conversations on the Barracuda YouTube channel. Until next time, I'm Nick Nolenberger, saying thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of San Jose Barracuda Hockey.
Cura.